All right, well, we're live streaming, praise God. And ladies, I was about to wonder if y'all were going to make it tonight, but I'm glad you're here. No explanation needed, just glad you're here and thankful for you, praise God. Everybody good in the room, I hope. Everybody blessed and got a lot to be thankful for, I'm sure. And let me get myself up on screen here for the folks watching online. All right, so this is class number 17. The Word of Reconciliation. I'm being generous with part two. We really didn't get too far into the Word of Reconciliation last week. But anyway, we will, Lord willing, and I believe He is, unless the Holy Spirit leads us another direction, we will get straight into that. So come on in, ladies, and help yourself. If you need to get your coffee, snack, go ahead. I know kind of getting in here right at the last minute, but that's fine. We just come. Amen. If you come late, come. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Everybody hold still 2 seconds. Let's pray. How about that? Amen. We'll pray, and then y'all can get your coffee and all that stuff. Amen. Father, thank you for this time together this evening. Thank you for your great love for us. Thank you for all that you've done for us, all that you've given to us, Lord. Thank you for the men and women in this room, the men and women who watch online, Father. Lord, the faithfulness, the commitment, the dedication. Lord, as I was praying for them this afternoon, I just was reminded, Lord, to remind them that they're doing it, Lord. They're faithful. They're following through on something you've instructed them to do. And Lord, there's something really important and special about that. And so we worship you tonight. We say thank you. We ask you to teach us and reveal truth to us in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 So I mentioned that in the prayer, you know, as I was praying over the class and just thinking about, you know, how faithful you guys and gals have been this year. It's like, you know, I was thinking about what a big deal it is, and the Lord just reminded me that it is a big deal, but for some of you, it's an extremely big deal because, you know, you never saw yourself doing something like this, maybe just a few months ago, you know, being this committed to something that has to do with God, Jesus, and the Bible. And so, anyway, thank you for your commitment and your faithfulness. As I've said before, I've stood in this room during COVID and spoken to that camera. And so it's much more enjoyable to have people in the room and be a part of what we are doing. So seems like there's been a little bit of confusion, and I want to clear that up, about when we will actually not be having class. And so just to simplify it, this make it really easy, okay? We will not have class on Christmas Day, and we will not have class on New Year's Day. Both of obviously are falling on Wednesday this year. So, but other than that, we're good to go. Mid January, I'll go to a minister's conference, but don't worry about that. We'll announce that when we get closer to it. Okay. But amen. We're class 17. We're on track number 18 before the new year, which is always encouraging. The last 3 years, we have not been to class 18 before. Or at least the material for class 18 up until this point. So anyway, on track, everything's going good. Again, thank you for your commitment and for your faithfulness. Praise God. So let's just do a quick review tonight. We've been talking about the ministry of reconciliation. And in order to understand the ministry of reconciliation, you need to understand reconciliation. And so we've spent some time talking about reconciliation. Then we talked about ministry of reconciliation. And then last week, we kind of went back and went through reconciliation yet again, right? Given its importance, we could talk about it for the next three classes and not overdo it, okay? Reconciliation to God is, again, He gave Jesus and paid the price that He paid when He gave Jesus to us for the purpose of reconciling or giving us opportunity to be reconciled back to Himself. So reconciliation is a really, really big deal to God. And since it's a really big deal to God, it needs to be a really big deal to you and me. So the Bible says that you've been reconciled to God and you have been so thoroughly reconciled to Him that He has committed to you the word of reconciliation and has given to you and me the ministry of reconciliation. So there's three seats here if that's too close on the front. Praise God. I know you ladies, I'm sorry. Y'all could sit on that back row if you'd rather sit back there too. Okay. All right. Okay. Amen. All right. Thank y'all. Amen. Welcome, by the way. Praise God. No apology necessary. You don't ever have to apologize for coming in late to this class. Just amen. You don't technically have to apologize for missing, but I will accept apologies for missing. Okay. But coming in late, we understand it's an odd time for a class to start for a lot of people. So praise God. All right. So when I say the ministry of reconciliation, this has kind of bounced in my spirit a couple of times, so let me say it again. It's kind of like you'll never understand the importance of prayer unless you first understand the importance of words. And we'll get to that in the new year. We'll talk about that as it relates to the ministry of reconciliation and the ministry of what we are and that sort of thing. So in the same way that you'll never really understand why prayer is such a big deal until you understand why words are such a big deal, you'll never understand why the ministry of reconciliation is a big deal until you understand why reconciliation is such a big deal. So does it not make sense to you, given what we've learned so far about being reconciled to God, that, and as important as it is to himself, that God would then put every one of his children, that's me and you, in the family business. And the family business is be reconciled to God. And when you speak to another person to help facilitate reconciliation to God for that individual, remember what he says in 2 Corinthians 5. It's as if God himself is speaking through you to them. Amen. And of course, this goes back to him being in us and operating and working through us. Now, we gave this really high-tech and elaborate and really deep theological diagram here. I'm being silly, obviously. The ministry of reconciliation has two branches, the first one being the new birth, and then the second one being discipleship. Again, trying to put all this into context for you. And by the way, for those of you who are new to the class, I wish I could go back and give you all 17 in 5 minutes, okay? But I can't, all right? But to be reconciled to God means to be reestablished in oneness and fellowship with God. To be reestablished in oneness and fellowship with God. Remember, we all came forth from God, and we were all in Adam when Adam was one with God and in fellowship with God. And then Adam sinned. And when Adam sinned, his sin separated him from God. And when Adam sinned and his sin separated him from God, because we were in Adam, listen to me very carefully now, we were in Adam. I know this sounds so bizarre to a lot of people. We were in his body, in loins is a biblical word, right? We were in him in seed form. So when Adam sinned, the Bible teaches that every one of us sinned. I like to say it this way, when Adam stepped in it, we all stepped in it with him, all right? And we'll get to this later on, but let me just kind of preview this now because it's very important. The Bible's clear about this. Romans chapter 5 really nails it down. It was not your sin that made you a sinner. I'm not saying you haven't sinned. I'm not saying that I haven't. But it was not your sin that made you a sinner. It was not my sin that made me a sinner. It was Adam's sin that made us sinners. It was Adam's sin that separated us from God. The Bible says that we were the offspring of wrath, that we were sons of wrath, that we were children of disobedience, okay? So that's how you understand that word reestablished, to be reestablished in oneness and fellowship with God. To be reestablished means there had to be a prior establishment, right? Okay, so to be reestablished. So we came forth from God. Remember, God breathed life out of himself into Adam's dirt frame, and he became a speaking spirit. He became a living being, all right? And so reconciliation then is about God bringing or giving opportunity for as many as will call upon the name of the Lord and be saved to be reestablished in oneness and fellowship with him. That's reconciliation, okay? That's reconciliation. So we talked about reconciliation in light of justification, reconciliation in light of redemption, reconciliation in light of anybody remember the last one, the first one, the last one? Propitiation. Somebody give him a gold star, okay? So all that Jesus did for us, as important as all of that is, none of it was an end to itself. In other words, it wasn't make us right just so we would be right. It was to make us right with God so we could be reconciled to God. We can't be reconciled to God if we're not right with God. We can't be right with God if we still have a sin debt or a slave to sin. We can't be free from sin and no longer have a debt to sin unless somebody pays the penalty and takes the punishment for the sin that we all deserved. And so that's propitiation, redemption, justification, reconciliation. And my heart is going out to all of you who are new, because some folks in this room have already heard this 5 times from me, amen? And they're still kind of processing it. I know some of you, this is the first time you've ever heard any of this at all right? So the Bible says that we've been given the word, or had committed to us the word of reconciliation. And so that's ultimately what I want to try to get deeper into tonight. So when we talk about how a man or a woman receives salvation, okay, we know that the word of God has to be spoken in order for someone to be saved. And when I say that, you know, that sounds so technical. I'm not trying to make it technical, right? But, you know, how can they hear unless someone tells them, right? And so words have to be spoken to someone in order for them to hear about Jesus, to know about Jesus, and ultimately call upon the name of the Lord to be saved. So let's jump in here at Mark chapter 16 and verse 15 and 16, all right? And Jesus said to them, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned." All right? So notice we got to go and preach. Go and preach. Preach means to proclaim. Preach means to proclaim. So lose this image of standing behind a pulpit, you know, in a robe or a three-piece suit with a Bible and 3 points and a poem, okay? That's what a lot of people think of when they think of somebody preaching. So preaching the gospel is to share words from your mouth to another person, telling them what Jesus has done for you, telling them what Jesus has done for them. This is the word, if you will, of reconciliation. Here it gets really more specific. Romans chapter 1 and verse 16, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is," the gospel of Christ, "is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek." Okay? So there is power in the gospel message for someone to receive the salvation that Jesus paid such a high price for us to provide, what we're also referring to as the new birth. Amen? All right, let me give you another one. Romans chapter 10, verses 13 and 14. "For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." Oh, thank you for that amen. I was hoping somebody would say amen there. "Whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." Amen. Please don't believe the religious lies that you have to do something more than call on the name of the Lord and receive Jesus in order to be saved. There's so many things that people say you have to do in order to be saved, and that is simply not the case. Amen. It is not of works. It is not about what you do. Matter of fact, let's go back to this. Romans 5 teaches us that it was not your sin that made you a sinner. Guess what? And it also teaches us that it was not your obedience that makes you righteous. It was Adam's sin that made us a sinner. It was Jesus' obedience that now makes us right with God. Amen? 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 So we are no longer in Adam, but the Bible now teaches that as men and women who've been born again, we are now where? We are in Christ Jesus. And so this is why the Bible refers to Jesus as the last Adam. So if there's a last Adam, there's got to at least be a first Adam. And we know the first Adam was the one in the Garden of Eden. Amen. And we were biological descendants of him. Amen. But thank God. Thank God. We've now been born again. We've now been born again. And we are now in Christ. We've been born into the kingdom, born into Christ. Amen. And we're no longer in Adam, but we are in Christ Jesus. All right. So whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And then how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? But you're not going to call if you don't believe. And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? Okay. And then he goes on to say, how can the preacher go unless somebody sends him? Amen. Now, as we explained last week, removing the enmity between you and God is necessary. Removing the enmity within a person, between their spirit and soul, also critically important. I had that in here last week, but it was actually 2 weeks ago when we talked about that. So let's see if we've got a drawing here. I think we do. All right, let's put the drawing up here. Praise God. All right, now, remember, especially those of you who are new, hear it for the first time, you are a spirit, you have a soul, and you live in a body. Okay? Can we hear this too many times? No. Okay. When I was in Africa this summer, I had the opportunity to teach on these things. And in one of the services, several of the different pastors that were in attendance introduced themselves. And one of the pastors introduced himself as, I am a spirit. I have a soul. I live in a body. And it made me smile really big because he's getting it. Amen. He's getting it. Praise God. Okay. So remember, you are a spiritual creature. So we talk about you are a spirit. We're talking about your being. You're a human being, not a human doing, a human being. We talk about your soul. We're talking about your mind, emotions, and your will, or your thoughts, your feelings, and your choices. But if you notice underneath there, I have in big letters in a parenthesis, understanding. So you're a being that has understanding, that does things. So your body is where we act, right? This is where we behave, if you will, outwardly. And so spirit, soul, body, being, understanding, and doing. Yes? Okay. So before we were born again, sin separated us from God. So that big arrow that says Zoe coming from God to you and me. Do you see that in the drawing? Anybody remember what that word Zoe means? The life and nature of God. Yes, somebody said it up front here, Sister Sheree. It's the life and nature of God. And so God created us for his life and nature to flow from him into you and me through a spiritual union with God. And of course, sin is what severed that. Sin is what severed that. And so someone can be biologically alive, have bios, okay? You notice bios over the top of the head there of the outward man, flesh, five senses, body. Bios and Zoe, both translated into the English word life, but we're not talking about the same thing now. Jesus said to a group of people in John chapter 10, verse 10, I've come to give you life in overflowing abundance. He didn't say, I've come to give you bios. They already had that. He came to give them Zoe. When the Bible talks about you receiving eternal life, not talking about eternal bios, he's talking about eternal Zoe, the life and nature of God without end in overflowing abundance is what Jesus came to give to us, what Jesus came to do for us. Amen. Are you still with me? Man, I get started teaching on this and I can go 2 hours and not even check up. But I don't need to do that tonight. I don't need to do that tonight. And all you new folks, man, I'm like, oh, I need to tell them all this, but we don't have to. If we tell you this, we don't have time for what else we got to tell you, okay? So y'all still with me? Now, why am I going back over this? One, because we need it to be reviewed, but God is the source of our lives. He is the source of our existence. It says it this way in Acts, in him we live and we move and we have our being, okay? So when Adam sinned, and we all sinned with him, That union, that flow, was severed. And so the power is no longer flowing. We could say of a cell phone, my cell phone is dead. That can mean one of two things. It's dead in the sense that it has no more electricity, the battery's dead, no juice, no power. Or we could say it's dead, it's got plenty of power, but it's no longer connected to what? The tower, okay? So we were spiritually dead. Spiritually dead doesn't mean we didn't have a spirit, okay? If you didn't have a spirit, you wouldn't have a being at all, okay? So a human being that has not yet been born again, they have a spirit. Their spirit has no power, and it's not connected to the tower. In other words, it's not receiving signals from God, and it's not receiving a flow of life from God. Are you following me? Okay. So when we talk about somebody getting born again, and the ministry of reconciliation, that branch where we go and share the good news of Jesus with other people to give them the opportunity to call upon him and be saved, okay? This is how a man or a woman is reconciled to God. And so at that point, the separation, the division is removed and we become one with God. We become one with God. Several years ago, I was preaching on a Wednesday night, and I was talking about being close to God, and I said, me and God are just like, and the Lord corrected me in mid-sentence. You know, you say, man, me and so-and-so are just like this, you know, meaning we're very close, okay? But watch this now. Me and God are just like this, right? We're just like this, Amen. Try that one time. Me and God are just like this, right? Amen. Just like this. Amen. We've been made one. Amen. All right? Okay. So that means any division. Remember, the opposite of reconciliation is division. It's separation. I'm gonna give you another. I'm gonna remind you. Some of you haven't heard me say this yet. It's the word enmity. E-N-M-I-T-Y. Enmity. Enmity. What does enmity mean? Enmity means a difference of opinion, a disagreement. And there is a spectrum of enmity, meaning it can be everything from just a disagreement about how you say tomato or tomato versus violent hatred, right? So the Bible says that we had enmity against God, and there was enmity between us and God. But if you've been born again, that enmity that separated you from God has been removed. Amen? And you and God have become one now. Amen. And His life and nature is flowing from Him into you. And that's a beautiful thing. And He said it would never end. He said it would never end. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. It's eternal. Eternal doesn't just mean never ending. It means never ending, never changing, continuing forever without interruption. So it can't be eternal life if it can be changed. Can't be eternal life if it can be stopped. Can't be eternal life if it can be paused. Amen. Okay. So the life and nature of God is now flowing from God into us through a spiritual union. Right? But now that's the enmity that exists between a human being and God. Right? And the new birth eliminates that. Are you with me? The new birth is how we get rid of that once and for all and become one with God again. All right. But now there's another layer of enmity. And this is not enmity between a human being and God, but this is enmity within a human being, within us, enmity that's in us. And that enmity, if you've been born again, exists in your soul and will often manifest itself in your actions. And that's just a fancy way of saying sin. Okay? Enmity within. Now, we say enmity, right? Remember, when you were born again, it was your spirit that was born again, not your soul. Your understanding hasn't been born again. Your understanding is a work in progress. Your understanding is how you see things. And how you see things is how you respond to things. Amen? Okay? And so discipleship is about changing the way we understand. Specifically, discipleship is about removing the disagreement that we have in our understanding with God's understanding. Bringing how we see things into alignment with the way God sees things. How we look at other people coming into agreement, into alignment with the way God sees other people. Are you following me? For that matter, the way God sees everything. Hallelujah. Okay. Now, this is a progressive, ongoing work. The work of discipleship, again, is a progressive, ongoing work. The new birth is not progressive and ongoing. The new birth is instant. Amen. We literally call upon the name of the Lord, and in that moment, we pass from death to life. In that moment, we become a new creation. In that moment, old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. Okay? This is the ministry of reconciliation as it relates again to the new birth. Okay? Is the word of God necessary for somebody to be born again? It absolutely is. I'm not saying you necessarily have to quote chapter and verse to them, but you have to know enough about it from the Bible, amen, to be able to explain it to somebody else so they can receive this gift of salvation. Right? Okay. Now, that second branch, though, of the ministry of reconciliation, it's the branch of discipleship. This is about getting rid of the enmity that lingers within us. The residue of the old person we were that remains on our understanding, that remains on our way of looking at things. Listen, I left out one of the biggest ones a while ago. One of the biggest ones, okay? Understanding of our own self, right? The image that we have of ourselves. This is huge right here. If God says you're righteous, stop saying you're not. If God says you're free, stop saying you're not. If God says you're rich, stop saying you're not. If God says you're wise, stop saying you're not. Amen. Are you with me? Amen. Are you with me? Amen. If God says you're a non-smoker, quit saying you can't stop smoking. Amen. 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 This is what he says about you. Okay? So notice now, this is the part that's coming into alignment with God. When I don't like to paint this negative picture like it's going to take you 50 years, okay? Because doing things the wrong way is a lot harder than doing them the right way. Amen? Amen. Amen. All right, so, you know, people say, well, you know, it took me 30 years to get in this mess. It's going to take me 40 to get out of it. No. Because, see, 30 years of doing it the wrong way can be overcome and reversed very quickly by doing it the right way. By doing it the right way, okay? And a lot of that has to do with the place you give God in your life. With the place you give God in your life. During Faith meeting yesterday, I won't embarrass him, but one of the brothers that's phasing out this week, it was talked about how early he gets up in the morning and spends time in the Word. And somebody had noticed that and pointed that out as something very positive about him and in his life. Okay, now, so think about it for a moment. You take two people, enmity between them and God is gone, okay? I mean, they're one with God. They're as one with God as Jesus is one with God, okay? Amen? Are you with me? All right. But then both individuals still have this wrong understanding. They have a poor self-image. They think other people exist for their benefit, you know, whatever, okay? All this wrong understanding that doesn't line up with the Word of God, all right? So you got these two individuals, all right? You got one of them who gets out of bed at 4:30 every morning, spends time in prayer with the Word of God, asking the Holy Spirit to teach him and change him and reveal it to him. You got another one that sleeps in, right? Shows up late for other... And by the way, I'm not talking about anybody. I'm talking about the second person, okay? Amen. All right, so somebody be going, man, let me talk about me in phase meeting. No, just tell me, please. All right. Which one do you think is going to grow faster? The one that's spending time, the one that's giving place in their lives, right? Man, I have seen folks, and we sometimes say things like, man, that person's on fire for God or what have you, you know. I've seen people get born again, didn't know the Old Testament from the New Testament, and man, just in a year or two, have outpaced and outgrown folks who have been in church for 10, 15 years. Okay? So don't think, please hear me, God do a quick work and significant shifts in your life. Amen. If you listen to him and let him, but he can only work with the time that you give him. Amen. And I'm saying all this to commend you for being here in a class, almost 2-hour class on a Wednesday afternoon at 5:00. Okay? So again, nothing against anybody else who's somewhere playing ping pong or watching Netflix. Okay. But they should not expect, are you hearing me? They should not expect to experience the kind of growth and change and development and transformation in their lives that you and I can expect because we've instead chosen to give God place during this time in our lives. Are you following me? Amen. So, but again, there's this enmity that's in us that in our thinking, in our understanding, that affects us emotionally. It affects our choices, our character, all of these things. Amen. That has to be dealt with, that has to be confronted by the Word of God, by the truth, by the statement from the bank, if you will. And we have to bring our understanding with the Holy Spirit's help and the Word of God's help into alignment. And this is just another way of trying to explain what discipleship is really all about. It is a process. The new birth is an instant work. Discipleship is a process, okay? I am a disciple of my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and I am learning, and he is teaching me, and I continue to seek him and seek him diligently. Are you following me? Amen. And grow. And listen, I you say, well, Pastor Mark, what, you know, when do you arrive? And I know some people say heaven. Well, amen, we get, just because you get to heaven, that don't mean you've grown as much as you can grow. Are you following me? I believe one of the key indicators is what Jesus said in John 14. The works that I do, you'll do also, and even greater works than these because I go to my Father. Amen. Only reason we're not doing it now is because our understanding is not facilitating it, right? Because the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is in you and me right now. Amen. Amen. Yes, sir. The same Holy Spirit that worked through Jesus, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth, right? To go about doing good and healing all manner of sickness and disease, destroying the works of the devil, right? That same Holy Spirit that raised him up out of 3-day dead grave, amen, is in you and me right now. Amen. Praise God. Okay? But notice the arrows, right? So I sometimes act it out this way. I have to turn around. It's different on the screen, okay? So many times our soul is standing like this. Remember I told you that your soul is like a valve? Mm-hmm. And when you turn on the water, there's pressure behind the valve. You open it and the water gushes through. Well, that flow, right? If our soul and our understanding is such against God, carnal mind is enmity against God, it won't allow all the life and power and blessing and goodness and joy and peace and all the inward realities of the new birth to flow through us. Amen. But the more reconciliation then that occurs, not between my spirit and God's spirit, but the more reconciliation occurs between my understanding or my soul and my born-again spirit.
Amen.
See, this is where we're getting things dialed in, so to speak. Okay, and it's a glorious thing. Now, again, in the same way, I had to explain all this to help you then understand what a minister of reconciliation does. A minister of reconciliation helps people come into alignment, into harmony, into agreement with God.
Amen.
Amen. And notice, how can I help anybody do that if I don't know what God's heart is, if I don't know what God's mind is, if I don't know what God's desires are, if I don't know what the truth is, right? But that's where the mirror, right? The mirror tells us and shows us what we can't see without one.
Amen.
Am I going too fast?
No.
Okay. All right. So let me, I had this somewhere really cool. All right, here we go. So let me put this drawing back up. Discipleship and spiritual growth are about our doing coming into alignment with our being. Are you seeing this now? I will repeat it. I'll put it up on the screen. I can't put the drawing. All right, everybody look at the drawing. Okay. Now, I'll come back to the drawing, okay? y'all like the sound effect? All right. Discipleship and spiritual growth, what's it about? It's about our doing coming into alignment with our being. Okay? And this requires a significant shift in our understanding. Discipleship and spiritual growth, it's when we're living outwardly as a reflection of who we truly are inwardly. Amen? Do I need to go through them again? You've been made free. You've been made righteous. You've been made whole. You've been made wise. You've been made, all these things we've been made, not will be, have been made, have become. Okay? Sons and daughters of God. Ruling and reigning in life, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a special people, a chosen generation. Again, the list is endless in the scriptures. All right? Okay. That's the inward reality of the new birth. Spiritual growth and discipleship is about the outward expression of our lives being a reflection of that inward reality. Are you with me? Okay. But notice now what we're leaving out. If we just, and obviously I've got, this requires a significant shift in our understanding. But how do I say this? Praise the name of the living God. I've said this several times here of late because it's just been a great revelation for me this year, okay? Is the mistake that so many well-meaning servants of God, pastors, Sunday school teachers, whatever, leaders in the church make. Somebody gets born again, then the church wants to go straight to telling them how they should do things, how they should live their life, what they should do, what they shouldn't do, where they should go, where they shouldn't go, what they should say, what they shouldn't say, what they should drink, what they shouldn't drink, what they, on and on and on and on and on. Listen, does the Bible tell us these things? Absolutely, 100%, yes. Are there some places we should not go? Are there some things we should not do? Are there some substances we should never put in our bodies ever again? Yes, 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 and yes. So I'm not saying the Bible doesn't teach those things, okay? But we automatically say, look, you're a Christian now. This is how a Christian lives. You're a saved person now. This is how a saved person lives. What are we skipping over? We're skipping over helping somebody understand what it means to be a born-again person. And more than likely, that same preacher's telling you you're just an old sinner saved by grace. And you better straighten up or you're going to bust hell wide open. You know, and it's like, well, what are we to do? See, churches are they're telling us to live exactly opposite to who they say we are. If I stand up here and tell you you're a sinner and you better do straighten up and live right, if I'm a sinner, there's nothing left for me to do but sin. And God knew this. This is why He made us. He gave us the gift of righteousness. He made us right. Now, because I be right, I have the capacity to do right. Amen?
Amen.
How do we know this? Because when I do wrong, I don't feel good about it at all. You know why? Because it ain't me anymore. Bad attitude don't look good on anybody. It certainly don't look good on one of God's children.
Amen.
Don't look good on you anymore. Are you seeing this, right? But notice, so this is where I think so many people become frustrated with the Christian life. They become disillusioned because nobody ever explains this to them. While their understanding is at best being ignored, at worst being fed wrong information from the pulpit, while at the same time we're having all of these thou shalt's and thou shalt not's piled on top of us, right? And but notice what's happening now. Our understanding, we're beginning to understand, greater is He who's in me than he who's in the world. The Holy Spirit's in me, and He's in there both to will and to do.
Amen.
Both to will and to do Father's will.
Amen.
That the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is in me, giving life to my physical body.
Yes.
See, now notice, as our understanding starts to line up with that, that's opening the tap, that's allowing the power of God that's in us to do what God's called us to do and to live the way God's called us to live. And not make it some chore, but make it a joy. Not something we have to do, but something we want to do and get to do.
Amen.
Okay, I'm getting stirred up about all this. All right. So discipleship and spiritual growth, yes, they're about your doing coming into alignment with your being. Does that happen overnight? No. Does God know that it doesn't happen overnight? Yes, He does know that. So is He patient with us?
Yes.
Does He remember our sins and iniquities? No. He's taken them away and He's forgotten them. And the Bible's very clear about it. He doesn't even keep a record of them anymore.
Amen.
Gone. As far as the east is from the west. If He'd have said as far as the north is from the south, then we could have went and found them. Because there's a north pole and a south pole, but there is no east pole or west pole. The further you travel east, the furthest point west becomes. Meaning it can never be caught up with ever again. Amen.
Amen.
This is what He's done for us. Okay? So when we begin to understand that I am free, I am righteous, I am one with God, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me.
Amen.
See, now when, and we see this pattern in the Scriptures, Ephesians is a classic example. If you have time, it won't take you long, later this evening, tomorrow sometime, read the book of Ephesians. But look for this. In the first three chapters, He's talking about what God's done for you, who He's made you, what He's given to you, what's now available to you. Then and only then, in chapter 4, 5, and 6, does He begin to give us practical life applications and instructions. Before He ever tells us how we should live and what we should do and how we should treat our wives and how we should respond as children and how we should respond as parents and practical instructions for marriage, practical instructions for the home, practical instructions for life and living, respect that we should have for our elders and those in authority over us, all of these things that are becoming to a Christian life and how we should live, are those things important? Yes, please don't think I'm saying they're not important. They are 100% important. But before any of that's ever mentioned by the Holy Spirit through the Apostle Paul, he spends three chapters saying things like, we've been made one with God. You were buried with Christ. Now you've risen up together with Him. You're seated together with Him in heavenly places. You're alive together. All of this stuff that he tells us first. And then it's Okay, now because that's true, you can do this. You can live this way. You can say no to these things. That's the pattern that we need to understand and follow. But if we just go born again and then straight to focus on changing the doing and skip over the understanding, it's a recipe for failure. It's a recipe for frustration. And for that matter, it's a strong word, but I have seen it in my lifetime. There are many, many people who have become very disillusioned with God, church, Christian life, all this, okay? I mean, it's like enough of all that. I mean, I've got enough struggle, enough on me, pressure on me and all this other stuff. I don't need somebody else telling me what I ought to be doing and how I ought to live, what's going to happen to me if I don't. Yes, please, loud and clear.
So that line that you're talking about, the whole point of it is that we're working on becoming a doing being.
Doing being. Well, I mean, that could be correct, but it also people could be confused by that. Because as you've heard me say before, some of you have not, okay? You're a human being, not a human doing. Okay? We don't do to be. That's a significant shift we need to make right now. Doing can't change your being, but being can change your doing.
That's right.
You cannot do enough good works to change your being from sinner to saint, from someone who's lost to someone who's found. Okay? Are you following me now?
Amen.
So your doing cannot change your being, for the better or for the worse. Only God can change the being.
That's right.
Okay? So we don't do to be, we be to do. You follow me? But that's only two dimensions. See, we're back to the two dimensions. And we're skipping over that third one in the middle.
Understand.
The understanding. Okay? Somebody tell me, what does your doing always line up with? What? Your understanding, right? Your doing lines up with your understanding, even if your understanding is wrong. Even if what you understand to be true about yourself is wrong, your doing is going to line up with it. So what does that mean? That means the more your understanding lines up with your being, the more your doing is going to line up with your being. Are you following me? Man, this is heavy. I know some of you are like, "Ooh, oh, I didn't know what I was to expect here tonight." Okay, amen. This is really, really important. I appreciate the question. Yes, ma'am, loud and clear.
But Pastor, the story you told about the man getting up at 4:30 in the morning, that was the human being.
The human being, absolutely.
He was working on the being.
Amen. Amen.
Once you get the understanding.
Amen. So yes and no. Okay. Working. Let me see if I can say it this way. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Neither one of you are wrong. I'm not. So please don't think I'm giving correction here. Okay. I just. Okay. Let me make sure I get it right. Okay. Have been saved, spirit. Yes?
Yes.
Past completed work.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
When you were born again, think about it. Did baby Jesus come to live inside of you, or did the risen, glorified Lord come to live inside of you?
Yes.
Risen, glorified Lord came to live inside of you. Okay? Is your righteousness a work in progress, or are you right now the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus? Okay. Now again, we're talking about being now. Okay, being. Okay. Now, listen, there are people who disagree with me on this. People I really love and respect disagree with me on this. And that's fine. Okay? Matter of fact, I will say it right now. My favorite preacher probably on planet Earth right now is Dr. Bill Winston. Okay? And but he and I differ on this. Okay? And Lord willing, me and him going to have a conversation one day. I'd love to sit down and buy him the biggest steak or whatever it is he likes to eat and talk with him about this. Okay? Because very few things that me and Pastor Dr. Bill Winston don't see eye to eye on, but this is one of them. Okay? The terminology spiritual growth, okay? You with me? I don't mind the term, but I do mind that I believe it steers us in the wrong direction. Because our spirit has been made perfect. Perfect. Perfected forever. This isn't my opinion. I'm telling what the Bible says, what God says, okay? Perfected forever, okay? So when we talk about the focus of discipleship, okay? The focus of discipleship is the understanding.
Amen.
Amen.
Let me see if I can say it another way. There is absolutely nothing I can do to make my born-again spirit any better than it is right now.
Amen.
Because the only way that could happen is it was born of Jesus, and Jesus would have to be better than he is right now, and that ain't happening. Are you just what I'm saying? Okay? All right. Okay. So when I say yes, that it was his being, the Holy Spirit inside of him, compelling him, leading him, drawing this brother to get up early and do that, right? Okay? Just like he probably is to several others in this room. All right? Are you following what I'm saying? Okay. So, but notice now, what part says yes or no to that? Spirit indeed is willing. The flesh is weak. So you got one wanting to, one not wanting to. Who's going to cast the deciding vote? Soul, thank you, right? Or we could say understanding, the mind, will, and emotion. Somebody said over here to my left, okay? Are you seeing this, all right? So the understanding, man, I wish 1,000 people could have been in our class Monday morning. Anybody in there Monday morning? Did y'all enjoy that as much as I did Monday morning?
Yes.
Ooh, my goodness gracious. I left there changed if nobody else did. Amen. Amen, amen, amen.
Amen.
Only got. I'm glad that. See, whoever was telling, that's Ministry of Reconciliation. So y'all go with that. Y'all go with that. Okay, amen. Okay. All right. And so, now I'm just about to want to teach money again. I can't do that right now. Okay. But we're talking about these same things though. Okay. So when you lose your appetite for the things of God, okay, the only way to get it back is to start eating from his table again. And the only way to eat from his table when you have no appetite for it, act of your will.
Amen.
You got to do it. You got to do it, right? You got to do it. Is the spirit inside, born again spirit inside, crying out for these things? Yes. Okay. But notice now, the doing. And so our heart, your heart is your soul and your spirit. It's a combination of the two. Your cardia is the soul and the spirit. And our understanding can become so desensitized, what the Bible calls dull of hearing. Dull of hearing. Are you with me? It's like a callus on your hand. If something rubs and rubs and rubs and rubs and rubs, it's going to form a thick spot on the skin there, and that skin's going to be less sensitive than the softer skin around it, okay? And so what happens is when the Holy Spirit draws us and we resist him, it becomes easier to resist him the next time he draws us. It becomes easier to say no to him the next time, and then easier and easier and easier till the next thing you know, right? I'm not saying you're not born again. Please, you are born again. You're one with God. But now your behavior and your understanding, right, are tag teaming together. And this is how God's people can wind up in some pretty serious and significant sinful behavior. Let's just say it that way. Okay? All right. Okay. So let's go back to it. And again, if I know that there's not universal agreement on these things, and it's okay. I mean, search the scriptures out, please. I'm just telling you, I was confused. How do I say this? All right, let's go back to this, okay? Crossword puzzle, even if you've never done one, do you understand the concept? Okay, all right. If, in order for the crossword puzzle to be solved, some of you heard me say this before, I'm going to do it again, okay? In order for the crossword puzzle to be solved, you've got to get every word across and down, all right? And if you work in the crossword puzzle and you think you've got an answer right, okay, you can put a whole lot of other answers in that puzzle and still think that one of them is right when it's actually wrong.
Amen.
The only way you know it's right is if all the ones across and all the ones down line up.
Amen.
Okay? Yes?
So when I say confused, this is how I, with the Lord's help and the Holy Spirit's help and the Word of God's help, amen, This is how I study things in the Bible, okay? I learned a long time ago when they told me speaking in tongues was of the devil that I can't just listen to what the preacher says from the pulpit, okay? Because I've been told some wrong things. Overwhelmingly, I've heard wonderful truth that's changed my life, okay? But I've also heard some bogus lies from the pulpit, okay? All right. So this is what I do in my study, personal growth, development, writing, studying, note-taking, from which I then, you know, draw out of that and present to people in forms of sermons or lessons or what have you, okay? All right. Is, especially when it's something that, not that it's all important, but something like this, this all got to go in right. So you can follow it through the scriptures for a while, but then you've got too many verses. So let's all these ones going across seem to line up. But then you start trying to work the down clues, right? Again, in theory, if it being, and now something's not right. Okay, watch this. And man, this Lord showed me this. This helped me so much. See, I'm working a crossword puzzle one day, and I've got a wrong answer in there. But not only is that answer wrong, all the other answers that intersect that one, it's impossible for me to get them right. But not only is it impossible for me to get them right because I've got wrong answer there, it's limiting. See, I'm thinking the only answer can fit, the third letter's got to be an A here. You follow me? You see what I'm saying? And so now I'm like, man, I'm stuck. I'm like, what? I don't know any word that'll fit here, right? So, we say, what's this got to do with what we're talking about tonight, Pastor Mark? All right, so if you look at the bigger picture of discipleship and what it means and what it's about, okay, it is to the soul what the new birth is to the spirit. Are you following what I'm saying here? In other words, spiritual growth is not about my spirit going from a baby to an adult. Okay? Spiritual growth is about, just consider this. If you disagree with it, that's fine. Just consider it. It's a different way of looking at it. I understand. But I believe spiritual growth is a misnomer because the spirit's not growing. What's growing is our understanding. What's growing is our understanding of who we became the day we became a new creation in Christ Jesus. I don't become more righteous the more I understand righteousness. I don't become more free the more I understand freedom. I don't become more spirit-filled the more I understand spirit-filled. Amen. Are you sure what I'm saying? Amen. I don't become more reconciled to God the more I understand reconciliation. I am as reconciled to God as I'll ever be. I am as free from sin as I'll ever be. I am as righteous as Jesus himself because he made me his righteousness right now, tonight. Okay? Are you following me? So how does that inward reality become an outward expression of life? It has to pass through my understanding. My understanding is the valve that will either allow that ability to live a righteous life to pass through, or it will turn it off and prevent it from passing through.
Amen.
So does that, okay, yes, no, maybe, that, okay, all right. So, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. All right, I'm gonna get to the nitty gritty now. Are you ready? That also means that I'm as healed tonight.
Amen. Amen.
By his stripes you were healed. Don't make me come back there. Isaiah 53 says are. 1 Peter 2:24 says were. Were healed. By his stripes you were healed. Amen. Meaning what? It is a past completed work. Amen. If you were, then you are. You follow me now?
Amen.
Okay. So you say, well, Pastor, whoa, you just changed gears. I said, No, I didn't. It's the same Bible that says you're righteous, the same Bible that says you're free, the same Bible that says you're healed, the same Bible says you're wealthy, the same Bible says you're blessed. You have been blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. You have been given all things that pertain to life and godliness. You have received not the spirit of this world, but you have received the Spirit who is from God, so that you might know all the things that have been freely given to you by God. Amen. Not will be, have been.
Amen.
Have been. I do not want anyone that's ever given me the honor and privilege of speaking into their lives to get to heaven one day and find out all they could have had, all they could have experienced, all that they were made, all that they were given, all that they became on this side of heaven, and nobody had ever told them. Let me act it out for you. Somebody finding me in heaven one day, squalling, crying. Somebody, I was using this example one day. Somebody said, Pastor, there'll be no tears in heaven. Read your Bible. There will be tears in heaven. And the Bible says Jesus will dry them.
Amen.
Come to me squalling, Pastor Mark, I sat in that church down there for 20 years and you never told me I was free from sin this whole time. Well, now you're not going to accuse me of that one now. What you do with it is up to you, okay? Amen.
What do you
want to hear? Pastor, can you imagine finding me in heaven? Pastor Mark, why didn't you tell me I had been blessed the whole time? I had been freely given all things. Because see, again, most people don't think like that. They don't. They don't understand like that.
Amen.
Their understanding is that there's somebody sick trying to get healed. See, again, this goes back to where we were yesterday morning in class, right? You can't lean on your own understanding. Your own understanding don't know what to do with this. Some of you still back there going, I don't care what he says, are healed. I'm just fine. You just do it. You do you, boo. I'm just telling you, okay? But see, your own understanding says, no, my leg's still hurting. I'm not healed. So guess what we have here? A classic case of enmity. When God says you are and your body says you ain't, your understanding is going to cast a vote. Your understanding is going to say somebody's right and somebody's wrong. Your understanding is going to say, well, God must be wrong. It must be will be healed because I ain't healed yet. My body's still hurting. Are you following me?
Amen.
Same is true with free. Same is true with free. God says you're free. You still are craving your former drug of choice or whatever, you know. God says you are, and you are. If he made you, you are. Amen. He says you are. And your body and your flesh and your senses and the lust of your flesh, the law of sin and death in your flesh says you're not. Understanding is going to say somebody's right and somebody's wrong. Must not be. Must not apply to me. Are you seeing this? So when the understanding says, I'm agreeing with God and I'm agreeing with him quickly. Not determining this. Remember, from this point forward, we regard no person according to the flesh. I mean, if you let the devil, he'll give you every scrap of evidence you need and then some to support a wrong understanding.
Amen.
Free. You ain't free. You dreamed last night about getting high. Free. Who do you think you are saying you're free? Right? I mean, that's what he'll do. Free. You ain't free. If you had an opportunity right now, if somebody offered it to you right now, you couldn't say no to it. He's just on and on and on and on. And we're sitting there going, man, you know, I probably could. Are you seeing this?
Okay. Amen.
I'm going to go back to this one. The Master himself said, you will do the works that he did and even greater works because he goes to his Father. Okay. Now, again, that's the... Whether you ever even lay hands on somebody to for them to be healed or whatever, I'm telling you what the scriptures say. Now notice, watch what happens now. And this is actually in tonight's class, but we're probably not going to get there now. But let's just go with where we are, okay? The fatal mistake people make is this. The Word of God sets the standard. Their experience is somewhere far beneath what the Bible says is ours, okay?
You can do one of two things. You can water the Word of God down to match your experience. Or you can let the Word of God elevate your experience. To match what it said. Do you see the difference there? So watch this. They shall speak with new tongues. Nobody I know, I've heard people say this. I don't speak with new tongues. Nobody I know speaks with new tongues. So God must not be doing that anymore. You see what I'm saying, right? See, now notice what we just did. This is what the Bible says. We just watered it down. But now watch this. It gets even better, okay? So what that really means is we don't tell dirty jokes anymore. We don't cuss anymore. We don't gossip anymore. We're going to speak with a brand new tongue.
Amen.
We shouldn't do those things. But that's not what that means. Are you following me?
Amen.
They will lay their hands on the sick and the sick will recover. Well, clearly that's talking about doctors, massage therapists, nurses. Pastor Mark, I've never laid anybody's hands on anybody and they've never recovered. I don't know anybody else who's ever laid hands on somebody and they've recovered. So it must not mean that. Do you realize how arrogant that is?
Yes. Come on.
To say just because you don't and nobody you know does, that this somehow is not what the Bible means? Do you see what's happening here, right? And notice we got one side spirit, one side flesh, in the middle understanding.
Amen.
People went through and marked down the Bible. What they didn't think was right, it wouldn't be much of a Bible. With it.
Just like a Golden Corral buffet, brother. Going heavy on the fried chicken and leaving that broccoli and salad on the side there. Hallelujah. Woo, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We're getting somewhere tonight now. I think y'all are finally picking up what we've been putting down. Are you following what I'm saying here now? Okay? Okay? So, do you see, I don't have the scripture in front of me, Romans chapter 12, verse 2. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing, the reconditioning of your mind. Your mind there is nous. And among other things, it means the understanding that leads to action. The understanding that leads to action. Okay? All right. So now, this is written to born-again believers. So the implication here is that these men and women, it's written to the church at Rome. Okay? So what's implied here is that he's talking to people who've already been saved, clearly. So what he's saying then is the key to life transformation for someone who's been born again is the renewing or the reconditioning of the mind. I don't mind renewing, but I prefer the translation reconditioning. Why? Because our minds are being conditioned and have been conditioned by this world, by our family of origin. My good friend Graham Bufford says that our family of origin was our first small group. Amen. And that's true. And I'm not trying to bash anybody's family of origin or anything like that, but some of you were at a real disadvantage there. Okay? And so that family of origin, right, conditioned you to understand a certain way. My dad was raised in a situation where children were to be seen and not heard. Okay, not everybody was raised that way, but my dad was raised that way. Okay. Well, I mean, he didn't raise me and my brother and sister that way, and certainly not our grandchildren, his grandchildren or great-grandchildren that way. But that's how he was raised. Okay. So notice now, he was that conditioned him to think a certain way that he had to grow out of later in life. I'm just trying to show you. So I like the word conditioned. Our minds have been conditioned to think and look at things and understand things a certain way.
Amen.
So they got to be reconditioned, which implies more than just sitting in the class and listening, but we have to do what? We have to take what we know and apply it.
And this comes back to the willpower. This comes back to the Spirit prompting you and you yielding. Willpower is not the final answer, but it is certainly a stopgap measure to get you from where you are right now back on the path. Think of willpower as a tow truck, right? That gets you out of the ditch, but you're not going to. Are you with me? Or I was going to say donut. I used to say donut spare tire, but I've seen people drive on them things for years. So I'm gonna, but you understand, amen. Not meant to be the regular tire. Amen. Okay. Yeah, just put a normal tire in there. Probably too many lawsuits about people. You got to know that somebody pulled into a tire shop one time and wanted to put a new donut spare on the one because they wore out the old one. So, all right. So one more time then. Discipleship and spiritual growth, it's about our doing. They're about our doing coming into alignment with our being. This requires a significant shift in our understanding. Amen?
Amen.
I think we got that, okay? So this then, let's go back to family of origin stuff, okay? If you've read my book, Becoming a Threat to Addiction, you know I talk in there about my mother's spaghetti. Okay. And so I'll just use something as silly as that for a minute, okay? For those of you who haven't read the book, first time I remember, Jeff said read it. First time I remember going to another family's house for a meal. It was a family we went to church with. And we were going for spaghetti, and spaghetti is one of my favorites. And but whatever they put on my plate that night, let's just say this, it wasn't my mama's spaghetti, okay? And I remember me and my brother looking at each other like, ooh, we locked eyes like, what is this? You know what I'm saying? I don't know. Amen. It was kind of like ketchup, water, and ground turkey, I think. But I don't know. Amen. Okay, renew my mind here, Lord. All right. So, watch this now. This will be a way to strike while the iron's hot here, okay? So you got my mother's spaghetti on one hand. You got this other mom's spaghetti on the other. And her family was, they were lapping it up like it was the best spaghetti. They were like a hungry dog at a bowl, man. They were just slurping that stuff down. I'm like pushing it around on my plate. You know what I'm saying? All right, but watch this now. Watch this. Okay, so who gets to decide what's spaghetti and what's not? Or let me say it another way. Who gets to decide, who says what's truth spaghetti? Truth spaghetti, right? Okay. And so this is why we need the word of reconciliation. People have all kinds of ways of living their lives. All kinds of ways of doing things. And the Bible's very clear about it. There are ways that seem right. But they don't lead to anywhere right. They lead to death. Lead to destruction. Okay? So, where do we go to find a standard? Where do we go to find what actually is right and true? Is it what this person says or that person says or what three generations ago said and did? And, you know, there are things that, you know, were unheard of three generations ago. Does that make it wrong just because they didn't do it and people do it today or vice versa? So again, the answer is very simple. The Bible, the Word of God. This is the one place that we can go to settle it once and for all. It's where the Bible becomes our standard. The Bible becomes our guide. The Bible becomes our go-to. Amen. Now, there are people who don't like that answer. And again, that's between you and God, okay? But this is why the word of reconciliation was committed to you and me along with the ministry of reconciliation. Because as an ambassador, do we go to another country and do our own thing, or do we go and represent our homeland? We go and represent our homeland. We are ambassadors, which means we're not there with our own agenda to say whatever we think ought to be policy for our homeland. No, we have it well established who we represent, who we are, who we represent, and what we can and cannot say. Amen. All right, now, thank you, Jesus. So let's go to John chapter 1, verse 1. John chapter 1, verse 1. Amen. Let me see. I got to change something here. There we go. There. Praise the name of the living God. Okay. Time's moving on, folks. You get anything out of this so far?
Amen.
It's been different tonight. I've never taught it quite like this tonight. Y'all are helping me. Thank you for the questions and comments. Helping me, okay? Why do we do this? Why do we take this kind of time? The devil has lots of tactics and strategies that he uses against us, okay? And the Bible says we can't be ignorant of them, because if we don't understand what he does and how he does it, then it'll give him an advantage over us.
Amen.
And God never meant for you to be at a disadvantage to the devil. Okay. All right. And one of his tactics is what we would call majoring on the minors. Okay? What does that mean? That means just become so focused and so absorbed on something that's good and maybe does need a little attention, but if we can put all of our efforts into something that'll make little or no difference in our life, okay, then the devil will have you do that the rest of your life and never tap into the potential of the inward reality of the new birth that you currently possess. So what I try to do, and I'm not, just Lord help me do it better, is I'm trying to draw a bullseye for you, okay? In other words, let me see if I can say it this way. If you're interested in growing and developing spiritually, this is what you need to focus on. This is what you need to ask the Lord to help you with. This is the bang for the buck, so to speak. You know, time spent versus rewards received and experienced. This is it. Understanding the way one of God's born again sons and daughters are to understand things, see things here on planet Earth, to understand the way God understands.
Amen.
Are you with me?
Amen.
Very, very, very important. To me, it's the heart of discipleship. There's all kinds of things that are important. Listen to me. All kinds of things that are important. Don't misunderstand me. I say it this way sometimes, okay? You know, the third trumpet in the book of Revelation is important. But somebody that's been at the foundry 3 days and already planning on leaving later that day doesn't need me to explain the third trumpet in the book of Revelation to them. Are you with me? All right, so you can get caught up in all kinds of things in the scriptures, okay, that are good, but it's where we've been the last two or three Sunday mornings here at Heritage, and that is the strategic effort on part of the enemy, conspiracy, not a theory, a conspiracy. I can show it to you in scriptures. To keep God's people being fed a diet from the pulpit that will keep them immature. And I hadn't said this part yet, but I'll say it now, and y'all can hear it again later, those of you who attend here on Sundays, okay? And even more so is if he can teach someone, how do I say it this way? Help me, Jesus, I don't want to offend anybody, okay? But there are people who, When I'm trying to say it right, brother, so I will. I promise. I promise. I promise I will. I'm going to say it. Lord's going to help me say it right and not be. I'm going to say it in love, okay? But I get frustrated at this, okay? I get frustrated at this. Satan doesn't care if you become a master in one area just as long as you never really gain the understanding you need to do the works of Jesus.
Amen.
Okay? All right? Because watch this, and thank you, Holy Spirit. The Bible says that knowledge puffs up, okay? But love builds up. So when people get caught in this vein of only seeking knowledge but not understanding and not wisdom, what's the difference? The difference is knowledge is information. Understanding is changing the way you see things. Wisdom is taking what you know and see and applying it to produce a result.
Amen.
Faith without works is dead. Amen. Hear the word, never do the word. All you succeed in is in deceiving yourself. See, and I could go on and on and on down this road. So what winds up happening then, and I've seen it. I've been involved with even, and I love these brothers and sisters, don't get me wrong, but it's like they feel like they've got the superior doctrine and they're better than everybody else. Do you realize how many denominations in this city think they're the only denomination going to be in heaven one day?
Yeah.
They think if you're not a member of their church, that you ain't going. Period. I love them. Don't misunderstand me. I'm not judging anybody. There's a church in this city just a few blocks from here. Not only do they believe that if you're not a member of their denomination, you're not going to heaven, they also believe if you are a member of their denomination and you don't speak in tongues, you're not going to heaven. Okay? And that's not right. That's not right. It's not what the Bible says. There you go, right? What does the Bible say? Amen. Okay. So, but now notice, right? So now it's like we know more about the book of Revelation, and we know more about this, and the devil lets you chase that until you no longer have time on this earth, thinking that you are superior to everybody else, you know more than everybody else, you're more spiritual than everybody else, and the whole time you've been deceived because you've never really embraced that who you are in Christ, what's been done for you. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Okay. All right. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Okay. So John chapter 1, verse 1. Sounds a lot like Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning. But here it goes, in the beginning was the Word. And if you'll notice, there's a capital W there. And that capital W is capitalized because the Word here, of course, is speaking of Jesus. Jesus is the Word of God made flesh. That's a very unique title. I'm going to do my best with the Holy Spirit's help to explain what that means, but let's keep going. In the beginning, John chapter 1, verse 1, was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Okay? So I know we're just a couple of weeks away from celebrating Christmas. Christmas is not when Jesus came into existence. Jesus is the eternal, uncreated Son of God. Amen. What we celebrate at Christmas is when he left heaven and came to the earth through the womb of a teenage virgin named Mary. He lived among us. Amen. Amen. Okay. Now, verse 14. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So Jesus is the Word of God made flesh.
Amen.
I'll amen all day with you, but okay, so what does this mean? How do we wrap our hearts and minds around this? Okay, well, words express thoughts. Follow the train now. Words express thoughts. If I have a thought in my heart or mind that I want to convey from my heart and mind to your heart and mind, I use words to convey that thought. I use words to express what I'm thinking and how I'm thinking. Yes? Okay. If you're going to give somebody a piece of your mind, right, you're going to use some words to do it. Right? Okay. Now, let's take that. If words express thoughts and Jesus is the Word of God made flesh, then Jesus must be, has to be, an expression of how and what God thinks. You follow me? Let me see if I can say it to you this way. Jesus is a living and breathing expression of the divine intelligence. So we have 66 books in the Bible that reveal God's thoughts to us. They're God's Word. If you want to know what God thinks about something, find it in the Scriptures. Don't go by what's popular today or what's fashionable today or what's acceptable today. My brother, my sister, that's always changing. And it's never changing in the right direction. Rarely does it change in the right direction, okay? So we can't go by, again, be conformed to this world by the way this world thinks things are or how they should be or how they should work or what we should do. We're going to go to the ancient book with timeless answers. We're going to go to the Word of God because the Word of God is where we find out what God thinks about sex outside of marriage. We're going to find out what God thinks about attending church. We're going to find out what God thinks and says about how to worship Him and how He desires for people to worship Him. We're going to find out what God thinks about gossip. We're going to find out what God thinks about fellowship. We're going to find out what God... How are we going to find it? We're going to read it because He spoke it and we get to read it, okay? But notice now, for God, He wanted to go, and He always does, He always wanted to go the next level and the next step. And so the next level, the next step is not just Him saying it with words, but Him saying it in the person of His Son living among us. Living among us. Jesus is a living and breathing expression of God's mind, of God's intelligence, of God's ways. In other words, do we have God's ways in the Scriptures? Yes, we've got God's ways. I mean, the Old Testament, before Jesus ever came to this earth, we had the ways of God spelled out for us in Scripture. All right? Not all of them, but because Jesus came to reveal things that had been hidden and kept secret from the foundation of the world. In other words, God could have communicated His ways of doing things to us without coming and demonstrating it. That's another key word there. Demonstrating it for us. He could have simply told us that He loved us, and He did, okay? But the Bible says that He demonstrated His love for you and me, right? When Jesus died for us, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And He demonstrated God's love for us. But listen to me, really that's not accurate. The Bible says we were God's enemies when Jesus died for us. So the love that Jesus demonstrated for you and me on the cross is the love God has for His enemies. And Romans 5 makes it very clear. If He did that for you while you were waving the middle finger of your life in His face, how much more now that you've been born again of His Spirit, of His seed from above, and are one with Him, does He love you? Amen. But again, it was more than just saying it. If God says it, it's true, it's accurate, it's 100%. But He also wanted to demonstrate it, to demonstrate it. This is one of my favorite quotes from Bill Johnson. If you're not familiar with Bill Johnson, he's the pastor of Bethel, Bethel Music. You probably know a lot of their music. And this quote from him is, Jesus is perfect theology. Jesus is perfect theology. Well, what's theology? Ology, O-L-O-G, is the study of, right?
physiology, biology, whatever, chemiology, no, that's chemistry. I'm just kidding. All right. So I just see if you were still paying attention. All right. So ology is the study of, and then theo is God. So theology is the study of God. Jesus is the perfect study of God. Amen. Jesus is perfect theology. So I want to leave you, and the Lord, I've said this for years and years, and He prompted me this year to add something to this. And so we're doing that now, okay? The most important question to ask for everything that has anything to do with you, okay? Anything to do with you, everything, I know that I don't need both of those words there, but I'm just trying to overstate it. And I can't. It's impossible, okay? The most important question to ask for everything that has anything to do with you, okay? What does the Word say?
Amen.
What does the Word say? We want to find out what Uncle Google says. We want to find out what the lady living down the street says. We want to find out what anybody who's had any similar situation that they've been in to ours, what they have to say, all these other things, right? And the most important question we could ever ask about anything that has to do with our own lives, what does the Word say? Make this your life's ambition. To find out what the Word says. What does the Word say about marriage? What does the Word say about family? What does the Word say? Watch this now. I mentioned worship a moment ago. What does the Word say about water baptism? What does the Word say about worship? Well, you know, Pastor Mark, I just worship God in my own way. Who do you think you are? God didn't say, worship me in your own way and however you see fit. Did He say that? Has He ever said that? No, He spells out in the Word how we are to worship Him, right? He would that all men everywhere would pray, lifting holy hands. It's God's desire that we lift hands. And watch this now. It's hardwired into us. Let your favorite team score a touchdown and watch your hands go up. Let something really good happen in your life and watch your hands go up. Watch you get excited. Watch you maybe dance a little jig or shed a tear or two.
Amen.
These expressions are hardwired into us. Well, Pastor Mark, it's just not my personality. Well, maybe your personality is your problem. Amen. I'm going to tell you straight up. The man you see standing in front of you right now was not born with this personality. I was very backward, very bashful. I was perhaps one of the most shy, bashful people in my entire graduating high school class. Some people don't believe that about me. That's the absolute truth. Okay. Watch this. The devil tries to attack you in the area of your gifting. My brother sings and plays the trumpet. Guess what he had to overcome as a child? Asthma.
Oh, wow.
Amen.
He can't play the trumpet. He's got asthma. No, he's going to play the trumpet because he has asthma and he's going to put it behind him once and for all. Understanding. Some of y'all didn't know that about Matthew, did you? Amen. So just because it's not your personality, it could be that that's something the devil's trying to use against you to hold you back. I'll never forget the first time I lifted my hands in worship. It was in a church service, and it was a nighttime service. I don't remember if it was Wednesday or Sunday night, you know, and sitting there with my family on the pew. And I lifted my hands. I kind of got them up to about right here, you know. It's kind of, you know. But I finally kind of got them on up about right here, you know. It's kind of. Do the hands like this a little bit, you know. Well, I was just so self-conscious about it, you know. I got in the car that night, and I was just waiting on somebody. My mom, dad, brother, sister, one of them. I noticed you raised your hand. They didn't even say nothing about it. I don't even think they knew that I did it. You know what I'm saying? And I'm like wondering what people are going to think and say. You know, so, yeah. Amen. Right? Just now I walk in Lowe's speaking in tongues with my hands in the air. I don't, you know what I'm saying? Amen. Woo, thank you, Jesus. Amen. All right, so what does the Word say? What does the Word say? Now, I said the Lord, that's been my motto for many, many years, one of my mottos for many, many years. But this year, the Lord wanted me to add something to that, okay? Followed by, what does the word mean? What does the word say? I just saw what my clock says. Wow, 6:45. What does the word say? I'm actually going somewhere. I got service in there just a minute. So somebody said, ain't nobody going anywhere. Oh, yeah, I'm going somewhere. I'm going down the hall here in just a minute. No, I'm kidding. I'm being funny. Amen. All right. Some of you heard me say this already, but I'm going to say it again, okay? The devil knows what the word says. He is hoping that you don't know what it means. If the devil quoted scriptures to Jesus to try and deceive him, okay? I guarantee you when the devil went up against Jesus, he went to his A game. He held nothing back, right? And so he quoted scripture to Jesus. Cast yourself down, angels will bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. He's quoting Psalm 91. The word says, Jesus says, the word also says. He was hoping Jesus would be confused and wouldn't know what that meant. Psalm 91 does not mean throw yourself off a high place and his angels will bear you up. Does the Bible say his angels will bear you up? Yes, but that's not what it means. Are you following me? Okay. So, first and foremost, what does the word say? But the Bible says there is no God. That shocks some people, but what it actually says is the fool has said in his heart there is no God. Right. Okay. But see, in other words, you just take that little snippet out. I mean, if you let the devil do you that way, he can use the Bible to really frustrate you and confuse you, okay? So what does it say? What does it mean? Words have meanings. Yes? Words have meanings. Like I gave you the word eternal last week. I'll give it to you again tonight. Eternal. It means more than never ending. It means never ending, never changing, continuing forever without interruption. That's eternal. Now that we know what that word means, we go back to all the things the Bible uses to describe for us as being eternal. And we see that salvation is never ending, never changing, continuing forever without interruption. We see eternal salvation, eternal redemption, continuing, never ending, never changing, continuing forever without interruption. Are you following me? All right. So now, what does the word say? What does the word mean? All right. Praise God. Amen. We got to end it. I don't want to, but we got to. Amen. I love you. I'm thankful for you. I'm excited about next week, our time together. Let me pray for us. Father, thank you for this time this evening. Thank you for loving us, helping us, always being there for us. Thank you for showing us your truth and your wisdom. Father, I really, 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 really just in my heart, my spirit, I feel so good about what we covered tonight and the understanding, Lord, that you've imparted by your word and by your Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord, for the way these men and women are responding to you and to your word and to your love and to your mission and assignment for them. Your purpose, Lord, your destiny. Father, I just thank you that there's going to be so many people's lives changed because these men and women have chosen to make this commitment at this season in their lives, and we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Know that you love. Know that Jesus is Lord. Good things coming. Amen.